Welcome back, Full Heel Podcast. I am your host, Rafael Chaydez, and you are listening to The Rewrites. That is The Rewrites in the background. Please go ahead and check them out on iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, Twitter, all that good stuff. Thanks for joining me. Today I will be talking about AEW All Elite Wrestling Dynamite for October 9th, 2019. Their second show ever on the TNT network. So, thanks a lot for joining me. I don't know if you guys saw Raw yesterday. Wasn't that bad. Wrestling's been pretty good ever since AEW's been on the show doing their pay-per-views. Stepping up the competition. WWE has had to do the same. They've had to make better shows, better storylines, even though we had that shit at Hell in a Cell. If you guys want to hear my thoughts about that, go ahead and check out my last episode, the Raw episode. I talk about it at the end. Alright, so week two started off with the Young Bucks taking on a Private Party in the first round elimination of the tag team tournament. So whoever wins advances further on into the tag team tournament. Fabulous match. Great way to showcase the Young Bucks for people that really haven't seen them in tag team action. I know we saw them in a six-man tag team last week, but this really showcases them more on their own. Was it a tag team match? I don't remember exactly where it was. I've been watching too much wrestling. The Young Bucks are Matt and Nick Jackson, for those of you guys that don't know. And Private Party. I did not know who they were. Mark Quinn and Isaiah Cassidy. Mark Quinn, for those of you guys that are new like me to AEW, or somewhat to the indie scene. I guess everyone is new to AEW. Quinn is a guy that has like the blondish mohawk, and Isaiah Cassidy is the guy that had the short hair. These guys are dressed in red and black. I don't know if they're paying honor to Hart Foundation or whatever, but that's their color scheme. They kind of remind me a little bit of... What's their names? Street Profits. They really don't have too much of a gimmick besides being two black guys that like hip hop and partying, except Street Profits come out with a red cup, kind of like a party cup. These guys are just out here partying, Private Party. I haven't really seen too much of them. So we'll see. We'll see what my opinion is of them going on after this. Let's see. The Young Bucks are isolating Isaiah Cassidy for a while, getting the tag in and out, getting good tag moves in until Quinn gets the tag. And then the Young Bucks are on the outside. He dives and gets both of them, each of the Young Bucks. Gets a dive. Quinn then hits a 450 splash. Only gets a two count. I think it was on Matt Jackson. Nick eventually gets the pin. Starts getting some momentum going. He has a badass sequence where he power bombs. I think it's Quinn. Yeah, he power bombs Quinn. Then goes for the pin right there. He only gets a two count. This guy kicks out, but he transitions into a sharpshooter. I don't know if I have that on Twitter as a GIF. I'll check it out right now. Let's see if I have it anywhere. But that was a cool transition to moves. I know it's something that I think he does a lot too. Matt Jackson or Nick Jackson. I forgot who I said. Did it. Let's see. Yeah, but no, that was a pretty cool sequence of moves done by the Young Bucks. They have a very unique offense. A lot of high flying. They get a lot of criticized from the old school guys for, you know, using a lot of spots and high spots, like, you know. I was pretty impressed by Private Party. I really don't know too much about them. Good showcase, especially for being new to AEW. Like I said, Quinn was able to hit a pretty badass 450 splash. Matt hits a sweet spear, only gets a two. Yeah, pretty good spear by Matt. Sorry, I think I have allergies. It's a change of season. My nose has been getting stuffy in and out. Matt hits four Northern Light suplexes. I think three of them were on Quinn or on Isaiah. And then the last one was on both of them at once. So that was pretty impressive by both of them. Nick takes out Quinn and Cassidy gets locked in a long-ass sharpshooter where he's by the ropes, gets dragged back to the middle. Eventually makes it to the ropes, but it was a teaser where they were teasing that Isaiah was gonna tap out. Private Party hit the gin and juice. If you guys want to see what that looks like, go ahead and check out my Twitter, or if you guys are checking out the YouTube, I have it on. You guys can see it all quick. But pretty much, they call it the gin and juice. It's a hurricanrana off the top ropes into a. I think it was a stunner. Is that what it was? Yeah. So that's the gin and juice by Private Party. And then again, he goes for the 450 splash or the shooting star press, I think it was, and only gets a two. The crowd reacts all crazy, and so it is a hurricanrana into the RKO. After not being able to get the pin, the Young Bucks hit they're teasing the Meltzer driver, but Nick gets taken out. And then Matt Jackson gets cradled up for the 1-2-3. And that was it. That was the end of that match. Kind of shocking that Private Party went over on these guys. But the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega are showing you guys that they're not starting a company just to put themselves over and try to get wins. They're putting younger talent over. Look at Sammy. Well, we'll see. Sammy Guevara, we saw him last week, showcased in the beginning match. Today we have Jericho walking out with Sammy Guevara, Santana, Ortiz, and Jack Hager. He's coming out to the ring, and he cuts a promo telling everyone he's got a name for the group. He's named the group the Inner Circle. So it's the five of them as the Inner Circle, and he's saying that they're the ones that really run shit. He takes a jab at NXT. Jericho says that they are the one. They are next. They are now. He gives a shout out to Eddie Guerrero by saying that he's got these two Pitbull guys, formerly known as LAX, Ortiz and Santana. He then says "Viva la Raza," you know, in reference to Eddie's birthday. He would have been 52 today, I think it is. The Eddie episode is coming, guys. Me and Ryan are getting our schedules together. I switched dates on him. Shoutouts to Ryan. I haven't talked to him in a while since last time. Miss you, Ryan. I love you, Ryan. Did I do it right? Yeah. Yeah, so the Eddie Guerrero episode is coming soon. Just like I said, me and Ryan are getting our schedules together. I switched it to Tuesdays because I want to drop episodes on Wednesdays for AEW. Last week, Ryan couldn't do it. And then, like I said, this week, I switched it up on him. So we will be doing it Tuesdays. And then next week, we're doing LOD. Me and Jeff. So the Eddie Guerrero is going to be a little bit delayed, but it's going to be a good one. We're doing our research, and we're going to come at you guys hard with a lot of heat. Latino heat. But next week is going to be me and Jeff LOD. It should be a fun one. I haven't had Jeff on in a while, so see that one. And if you guys want to see who Jericho's inner circle is, like I said, check out my YouTube or the Twitter for you audio people. Like I said, from my left to right, it's I think it's Ortiz, Jack Hager, Chris Jericho, Sammy Guevara, and Santana. That's who we have as the inner circle for Jericho's new stable. It's going to be a fun one, guys. Like I said, this one did not disappoint. Please go ahead and subscribe to the channel if you aren't already on Podbean, on iTunes, on YouTube, on all the platforms. And go ahead and hit that ganja. Take a hit. Pack that bong, roll that blunt, hit that joint. I'm more of a peace guy. I like glass pieces, but to each his own. To each his own. All right, back to the show. Jericho shouts out Eddie. The crowd then starts chanting, "We the people, we the people, we the people," for Jack Hager, showing their support. Jack Hager kind of nods his head. And then Jericho says that "We the people" was a stupid idea and that that would not pass here at Creative, and that's not gonna happen here. And he just shits on the idea 100%, and which is fucking crazy. It's not crazy. I knew this. We all knew this was going to happen. But when asked, they said that this was not a war, that they were just going to put on their wrestling thing, and WWE was going to do their own thing. But we see now, it's clearly, they are clearly taking shots at WWE by saying, "We are next. We the people idea sucked. The creative sucked." And he has a match later on. It's a it's a six-man tag match. Jericho, I guess we'll get to it. I forgot who it was. I know it was Dustin, but he says Dusty sucks. And the crowd boos at him. He's playing up the heel. I don't know how people are gonna take it. It's controversial. Dusty Rhodes is dead. The American Dream, baby. Son of a plumber. Funky like a monkey. He's dead, and this guy's taking shots at him. So we'll see how that goes over with the critics. Everyone's sensitive nowadays. It's just a heel move, guys. It's entertainment. Dusty Rhodes wasn't even his real name, so. Let's see. After this, we have a number one contender match. After the promo cut by them, we have a number one contender match. Jimmy Havoc versus Darby Allin. Darby Allin has half of his face painted in a skull. Jimmy Havoc comes out with like a crazy mask thing. They're both kind of like hardcore guys on the indie scene. Even on the pay-per-view, they were in the Cracker Barrel match, if you guys saw that. And they have a crazy hardcore match. Here, they have just a regular, I'd probably give like a 2-star match. Not anything crazy. Not a bad match, but just there. Kind of just there. It's feeder for Jericho. This is the number one contender match for next week against Jericho. This is a squash match for Jericho, but it's a way for Jericho to put on a match and win. Wins matter here. So we can't have your champion losing. So here we go. I have no problem with this. And that's because I really don't know who they are too much, Jimmy Havoc or Darby Allin. I've only seen what AEW has given me of them. Let's see. Havoc hits a nice tiger driver. He bites. Well, they both bite each other, but Havoc bites Darby first, and then Darby returns the favor after two bites later on. Darby hits the stunner and then hits the coffin drop off the second rope. Like I said, I'd probably go like 2 stars or something like that. Young Bucks probably got 3 stars if I had to grade it. Number one Wrestling Observer, Full Heel Podcast. After this, we have Emma Sakura. I think that might be wrong. She's a Japanese girl that dresses like Freddie Mercury, has the mic, has the yellow jacket on top, has the white pants. With B. Priestley. I don't know who she is. Taking on Britt Baker, the dentist. And Riho, the girl that won last week versus Nyla Rose. So she's the new champion. It's a tag team match now. Riho can't pick up Sakura. Weight disadvantage. She's super tiny. I didn't realize how tiny she was just because she was small compared to Nyla Rose. But that was just... That was just assumed that that was just the case because she's tiny, but even seeing her with these girls that are small as well, she's a small girl. She's a small girl. Let's see. Let's see. What did I skip over? Nothing. Okay. Let's see. Riho hits a 619 on Priestley. There wasn't too much in this match either. It was kind of mediocre. Then again, the WWE girls really don't put on anything. The mid-carder girls or in tag matches. Even though Becky Lynch, Flair versus Sasha and Bayley was pretty awesome. Sakura starts the We Will Rock You chant after getting some offense in, but takes too long with it, gets attacked. The finisher was cool on an average match. Britt Baker locks in the Rings of Saturn. I don't know what she calls it. But as she locks in the Rings of Saturn, she also goes for the Mandible Claw on her opponent. I don't think I retweeted that. Let me see if I can find it real quick. But if she's doing that... If they can get it over and they can get people to see it, if someone else had that finisher, but I guess it makes sense because she's a dentist. But if someone else had that finisher, it would go over crazy because it's a crazy way to use the Mandible Claw and lock in the Rings of Saturn. It's pretty impressive. I enjoyed it. Nah, can't find it. Sorry, guys. Yeah, so it's the Rings of Saturn and then she locks in the Mandible Claw. Giving them the victory. Next week we get Britt Baker versus Riho for the championship. After this we get Shawn Spears coming out with a chair and Tully Blanchard with him as manager taking on Jon Moxley, Pac as commentator, complaining about not getting a title shot. He's 2-0, he's undefeated, and people like Darby Allin are going to get a title shot after winning one match versus someone like Jimmy Havoc. So he's pretty pissed about it. If they're smart, they hold it off as long as they can and keep us wanting something and eventually do give it to us. Keep on teasing it, but, you know, because putting the title on Pac isn't a bad idea. Not so soon, though. But if they're already teasing a feud, maybe a longer feud, where we don't see them in the title match till later on, it could work out. Him and Moxley have to get something out of the way, too. He's kind of pissed at Moxley. He already beat Omega, so we'll see. We'll see where they go with that. Moxley tosses Spears out. He's using the outside barricade a bunch. He even goes and resets the 10 count on Spears. This was an average match, not too crazy. They're still entertaining. By average, I'm not saying they're out of this world. I would say maybe 2-star matches. They're not shitty matches. They're good matches. They're average matches. This is a good Jon Moxley match. They both exchanged suicide dives. That was pretty good. So by that, it's Sean Spears suicide dives to John Moxley, tosses John Moxley in, but Moxley gets up right away, and this guy's celebrating. John Moxley runs and suicide dives him for himself. That was pretty cool. Moxley's offense has definitely switched from Dean Ambrose. He's hitting stiff knees. He hits his paradigm shift and then gets a 1-2-3. That's his new move, I'm guessing. This was pretty much leading to the spot where Omega comes out with a barbed wire bat and a barbed wire broom. Omega tosses the barbed wire bat at Omega. They're both staring at each other, teasing that they're going to attack each other. The crowd is going crazy. And this is what AEW is doing perfect. We are going to get them. And due to a real-life angle or a real-life thing that happened where Moxley got staff, he had to get out of the match. Now Pac has heat with him. They're still going to do Omega versus Moxley because Moxley attacked Omega last week, put him through a table, hardcore, beat him with a bunch of stuff. Omega this week comes out with a broom wrapped in barbed wire, a bat wrapped in barbed wire, tosses him towards Moxley, and we're getting a tease of them having a hardcore exchange slash match. And I say tease because Pac attacks Omega from behind because they're on the ramp. Pac's been commentating the whole time. And Moxley wants to attack Omega, but he'd rather not do it because of what Pac did. He rather respectfully declines the invitation to attack Omega and just leaves. After this, damn, was that it? Yep, all right. After this, we have Dustin Rhodes, formerly known as Goldust, and Hangman Page taking on Sammy Guevara and Jericho. They start off the match playing around. By that, I mean Jericho and Sammy Guevara. They start around by just tagging each other back and forth, back and forth. Dustin gets annoyed by this, attacks Jericho, goes to the outside. They eventually come back inside. Dustin and Page starting off the match with some good teamwork. AEW really not focusing, but showcasing tag teams and letting them have good matches. Even this weird one like Dustin and Hangman Page. They even reference Hangman Page to Barry Windham. Yeah. They said that he was reminding them of Barry Windham, JR, and Shivani. And Dustin Rhodes had tagged before with Barry Windham. So they were referencing that and saying how Dustin Rhodes could be a perfect mentor to the Hangman. But, yeah. It's a nice back and forth match. I would say the better of the matches on the card and it being a tag team match. But Jericho and Guevara are getting more of the offense just by doing their heel shit. Sammy pancakes Page on the top turnbuckle. But then Page hits a nice discus lariat. Discus lariat is where he gets tossed against the ropes. But then off the ropes he spins and then into the clothesline onto Sammy. Dustin Rhodes going up to the top rope. Hit a nice cross body on both Jericho and Sammy. On the outside, Hangman takes out Sammy. He's celebrating. As he's celebrating, Jack Hager comes and takes out Hangman Page, getting the heelness in. Fool Heel Podcast. Let's see. Hager clotheslines Page. Sammy distracts the ref, and Hager clotheslines. Yeah, okay. So when they're back in the ring, Jericho's in the corner. Sammy is grabbing the ref by the shirt, and then Hager comes in and clotheslines Dustin. Then Jericho hits his Judas effect, his spinning elbow. 1, 2, 3. Inner Circle gets the victory, their first victory on Dynamite or on anywhere because they were just named today. And then we get a 3-on-1 on Dustin. We have Jericho, Sammy Guevara, and Jack Hager all attacking. All attacking Dustin. Paige and Hager brawl off the ramp, and you don't see them anymore. So it's still a 2-on-1 on Dustin. The lights go out. The lights come back on. Now it's a 2-on-2 because Cody appears now. Not long after that, Ortiz and Santana come out and attack Cody. So now it's a 4-on-2. And then the crowd goes wild because MFJ comes out. I forget what it stands for. Like, I should look it up. It's supposed to be Cody's longtime friend in wrestling. He comes out, and he has a chair at hand. Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MFJ. He's a heel right now. Cody's a face. But he comes out to save Cody. They tease that he's going to turn on Cody because Jericho's holding him and he's saying, hit him, hit him. And he's got a chair and he's kind of just looking at everybody, kind of assessing the situation. He eventually attacks the Inner Circle. And then Darby Allin. Okay. So after he attacks all of the Inner Circle, Jericho kind of just takes off and he's celebrating, and then Darby Allin rolls down on a skateboard and attacks Jericho, hits him across the back, and they are left celebrating in the ring. And is that how we left? Yeah. That's how we left AEW, with the Inner Circle getting attacked. Darby Allin, who has a championship match next week against Chris Jericho, attacks Chris Jericho. Inner Circle is named. Young Bucks are out of the tag team tournament. Darby Allin, like I mentioned, gets a title shot next week. Riho versus Britt Baker. AEW put on another good show. No doubt about it. It's keeping me entertained. It's keeping me wanting to do these breakdowns and talking about AEW. As long as AEW keeps on bringing the boom, I'm going to keep bringing you these breakdowns. I will watch NXT and hopefully do a 20-minute breakdown like this tomorrow about NXT. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. I should be able to catch the show tomorrow. It's already 10 o'clock here. If I started watching, which I will, if I start watching NXT by the time I'm done with it 2 hours later, it's going to be 12 o'clock. I got work tomorrow. If you want me to quit my job, please subscribe, share it with your friends. If I make enough money where I don't have to work at that place, I'll do it. But that means you guys have to subscribe to the podcast. Share this shit, rate and review. And let me know what you think. Drop your comments. Yeah, check me out on iTunes, Podbean. Podcast Republic. Check out the rewrites. Shout out to my buddy Ryan. Shout out to my buddy Jeff on Average Joe's. Love you guys. No homo. I'll see you guys next week. Or I'll see you Friday. I'll see you tomorrow. Or Friday. Who knows? Probably tomorrow. Definitely on Average Joe's. Definitely. I love you guys. Please hit that subscribe button like I asked. It really helps out the show. And I'll appreciate it. Keep on bringing you this stuff if you guys like it. If not, suck my cack. Dig it! Spend too much time.